Enneagram sucks. Just chill out. Because the Enneagram doesn't suck. It just sucks to see how people use it as a mindset block almost. It's a tool, but that's all that it should be.
You're listening to the Build and Bloom podcast with host Jessica Whitaker, an educator of film and digital photography to beginners, both in workshops across the globe and online. Creator of the Build and Bloom group on Facebook, one of the largest and most engaged photography communities with over 60,000 members, and founder of nonprofit Sister Sister, a monthly networking group for young women in media. Jessica Whitaker cuts the fluff and will help you to grow your photography business with practical, actionable tips in every episode. If you're ready for a roadmap to a better personal and professional balance, then Build and Bloom podcast will help encourage, empower, and educate you to not only build your dream business, but sustain it. And now, here's your host, Jessica Whitaker.
Hello and welcome to my Monday Motivation mini-series here on the Build and Bloom podcast. My name is Jessica Whitaker, and today's episode, like all of the Monday Motivation episodes, is going to be casual, chatty, and full of action steps that you can take this week for your business. Well, there's a lot of discussion happening in the Build and Bloom Facebook group, which if you're not a member of the group, pop on over into Facebook, type in Build and Bloom, search in groups, and join. It's a free photography community that's inclusive, kind, encouraging, and it's one of the platform's largest photography groups, which is amazing. I'm really stoked to see that the community has attracted so many members and that there's so many like-minded photographers out there who are interested in cultivating an encouraging environment, something that the photography industry definitely needs more of. So you could join the Build and Bloom Facebook group for free, and that's where we have a lot of discussion, where you can share your work, and also where I have questions asked for me, whether it's about my personal life, not so personal, but at the end of my Monday Motivation podcast episodes, I do answer some personal questions for you to get to know me a little bit better outside of just being a photographer. And it's also where we spark discussion and I get ideas for topics to talk on in the Monday Motivation show. So today's episode, I want to talk about something that I thought of yesterday or the day before when it comes to Instagram stories. So last Monday Motivation show, I talked about Instagram Reels and how to use them in your business and how to stop complaining about them. When Instagram Reels launched, all the millennials like freaked out and just started complaining instantly. And I'm like, y'all, this is one of the best things to happen to Instagram. And before that, they were complaining about Instagram TV. I'm all about let's get on board with this free tool, Instagram. It's free marketing. Let's get on board with it. Let's play the game of Instagram and use all of these tools and resources that they bring us for the platform. So if you missed out on the previous Monday Motivation show, you're going to want to listen to that. It's all about how to use Instagram Reels. And before that, the episode before that one was on Instagram TV and how to use Instagram TV in your business. And it kind of boils down to how to stand out from your competition. Because if you are one of those complaining millennials, chances are your competition is also a complaining millennial about Instagram TV or Instagram Reels. They still believe that you should just post your photography work on your Instagram feed and like never show your face. And so you can get a massive head start and truly stand out in a saturated market when you take advantage of these free tools and resources. So definitely listen to those episodes on the Build and Bloom podcast, Monday Motivation mini-series. But today I kind of want to talk a bit about Instagram stories. And I've never discussed it in this way before because I've never really thought about it in this way. I have tons of YouTube videos and I think podcast episodes as well as like how to use Instagram stories in your business from like planning, layout, call to action, verbiage to use. And you can check out those resources on my YouTube channel or in the podcast. But today I want to talk about what kind of not to share. Now, I have done a podcast episode and a YouTube video on like 5 things you should never post about on social media. Such as like when you have back-to-back weddings and you only get 4 hours of sleep. it's extremely alarming when you post about that. Like, we don't talk about our lack of sleep, even if we can operate off of it. No. This is actually going to be about the specific subject. So I guess we should just get started. I mean, I feel like I've already started, but okay. So I am on my Instagram stories evaluating, do people actually care about me posting about my dog Bumblebee? No, not really. I mean, a handful of people might care, but do they really care? No. Do people really care if I share my outfit on Instagram? No, they don't. Do people really care if I share a pretty sunset? No, they don't. And I don't mean to start this off on a pessimistic foot, but I'm going to bring it into a point. And I guess this is me talking aloud about it for the first time. I've just had it kind of running around in my mind. And so just a casual episode. But every time I post on Instagram this upcoming week, I want to start posting with a bit more intention. So instead of just sharing a photo of Bumblebee every single day, I want to have it sandwiched between a lot of value. Instead of me just showing my outfit, I want to have a little bit more intention behind it. So actually, I shared my outfit in an Instagram reel, and it was around the premise of I was filming a YouTube video that day, and the dress I was wearing had a collar that I was able to easily attach a microphone to. I talked about like the details from my nails, my rings, my shoes, whatever it might be, I was able to share. And yes, I was still sharing my outfit, which is great in a way that can, you know, you can look into my personality, my personal style, and in a way that's a bit more intentional and still framed around photography versus me just posting an outfit photo in my mirror. Because either way, it's cute, but this way it's framed with more intention. And as I was looking through and really thinking, I'm like going on to the Instagrams of these older millennial marketing people who specialize in like online marketing, course creation, things like that. I noticed like they mostly, for the most part, I mean, there definitely are some people who share about their personal life and aspects and things like that. They kind of just pop on when they have an announcement to share, which I think is great. It means that every time you go to their feed and click their story, you're getting something of value, even, yes, if it's a paid product promotion. So how do we strike a balance? I'm trying to figure out myself, how do I strike a balance between sharing bits of my personal style, maybe my personal life, you know, in the form of like my dog Bumblebee, a sunset, maybe not a sunset, but and also sharing valuable information. So let's just kind of brainstorm it together in this episode. So I think number one, I've mentioned this many times, the first slide of your Instagram story should be the call to action or the most important detail that you're trying to convey, the most important message, sorry, you're trying to convey that day. And you also want to show your face as much as you can on the first slide. I know there's instances where it might be just text, but you want to show your face with that call to action. So if you are offering a list building, a lead magnet, we can talk about those in another podcast episode, basically is a way to grow your email list via a free resource or tool, download, something of value that a person would exchange their email address for. For me, I have tons of lead magnets. I love creating lead magnets. I've been making email funnels since I started my email list in 2018 summer. I remember I was in Paris in like the 55 square foot studio that I was staying in that summer with my best friend making my first lead magnet, which is my Clementine preset. And you can still download it for free. It's just jessicawhitaker.co/Clementine. And you'll be on my email list. And so if I want to share my Clementine preset, which is a swipe up, a free download, I want to share that the first story. And though I already have built out some Instagram story material for that, like promo material, whether it's from Canva or just my Unfold story app, which Unfold is a story planning app. You don't use it to schedule out things, but you can kind of pop in graphics and have them saved there so you can grab them when you're ready to upload to your story. It's all in one place. I still, though, want to show up and say, hey, if you're interested, I have a free Lightroom preset, swipe up to download it. And then that's my face, the link, the call to action. And then following that might be some before and afters. I don't want to have that sandwich between a selfie of me, though I love my selfies, don't get me wrong, a photo of my dog Bumblebee, a random video of me walking Bumblebee, and then my call to action, and then maybe a YouTube video. I won't have as much value up front, so that when if I can look at my Instagram story from an outside perspective, if I go onto my page and I'm just tapping through the first two or three slides, I'm automatically getting value and I'm having a reason to follow you. If all I'm seeing is my dog Bumblebee and an outfit in the mirror, that's so boring. Why would I care? Yes, people who are maybe like very warm to your audience, they really know you. Maybe they've been following you for 6 months, a year, more than a year. Maybe they just have really fallen in love with your style and your branding and your personality. You know, yes, your warm audience. They might love that outfit photo. They might love to know what you put into your smoothie. But does the colder audience, people who are just visiting your profile, really care? Why did I start thinking about this? Because it stems from Instagram Reels. Instagram Reels are a great way to be able to bring in a cold audience to your account, to bring in strangers to your account. And the first thing that they're probably going to look at, besides your bio and a quick glance at your feed, because they only have like 30 seconds before they make a decision if they want to follow you or not, just might be your story. And if your story is just a photo of a dog, your outfit, your food, do you know what I'm saying? Like very like filler photos, not a lot of intention. They might not click follow. Even if you had something very valuable, that call to action, that freebie, that download, that workshop, that whatever it might be, sandwiched in your stories, they're not sticking around long enough because there's other people on the app who will hold their attention. So this is just a thought that I have been, you know, has been running around in my mind for the past few days, past maybe 2 days or so. And I want to really challenge myself to kick it up a notch with my stories. I love sharing the personal aspect of my life, but how do I tie that in to add a bit more an intention? I know I keep saying that behind it though. I still want to strike. I want to strike that balance between personal and professional. And I think that some people, you know, they followed me or you, they follow us for the photography and they then fell even more in love with our work because of our personalities, what we share, our insights, our tips, our tools. So how do we keep it still that 80% professional, 20% personal? Professional also doesn't mean like boring. It just means photography related content or industry related content. You're serving 80% of the time, sharing fun little things 20% of the time. And I think you can share more personal on Instagram Reels if you have other interests outside of photography. For me, I love interior decorating. I love stationery. And so when I had just received a wax kit, like a wax seal kit in the mail, and I was writing a couple cards. One was for my friend's wedding that I was sending off to her. Obviously, I'm not attending a wedding in a pandemic. And another was my friend's birthday card. Obviously, I'm not attending her birthday in a pandemic. So I had these cards I wanted to send out. I would send them out regardless of the pandemic. But remember, we're in a pandemic, you guys. Just because we're over it doesn't mean it's over. Please wear a mask. So I had my brother film me doing the wax seals, and I was able to turn it into an Instagram reel, and it was still showing a little bit more about, you know, my office, which is very colorful. It's very pink. Love the color yellow. It's really fun. There's butterflies everywhere and heart garlands, and like, it's paradise to me. But I was able to have the caption revolve around a career tip, which is the importance of thank you notes. And I want to make a podcast episode on the importance of thank you notes in the future, maybe next Monday. Let me know in the Facebook group if that's something of interest to you. And I was able to spin it in that way where I'm sharing this other angle of my life, this other aspect of my life, sharing my personal style, my interior style, the details, my eye for detail, which does play into photography, giving it more purpose with the caption. Because I could have easily written love stationery XD face. But instead, let me pull it up actually on my Instagram account. Don't you guys just love these Monday motivation? They're so casual. And it's loading because my Wi-Fi. Okay. So I wrote, thank you notes are important in personal and professional life. Sending one to an employer you just interviewed with is a way to stand out. When it comes down to selecting between the final two, you just might get the job because of your thoughtful note. That has so much more, again, intention behind it and purpose. Intention and purpose are the same word. I find myself repeating the same words a lot, synonyms. I need to chill out. But you see my point. So I want to kind of trickle that into what I share this week on Instagram stories. And I want you to try this as well. I want you to really evaluate if you had somebody who has never heard of you before come to your Instagram profile and look at your stories. Are they going to be served information or encouragement? Is it related to the industry? Yes, even if most of the people who follow you are clients, they're not necessarily photographers. You're establishing authority, which is something I've talked about before on my YouTube channel. Actually, in my latest YouTube video, I talked about three ways to stand out in a saturated market. Is it industry related or is it a photo of your dog? We love photos of the dogs, but we are here to maintain, to have a standard of excellence. We're here to stand out from the competition. We love dogs. I love my dog Bumblebee. I do. I love my own outfits. That's why I choose to wear them. But what's the purpose behind it? Of course, you could still share it. Sure. Your competition probably is still sharing it too. But if you want to stand out, especially in a saturated market, this is the kind of mindset we have to start getting into. If you've ever looked into online photography workshops, chances are you've come across a couple of cringy, overpriced programs with information that you could find easily on Google. I'm here to share with you that my online photography workshop is 6.5 hours long. It's my masterclass, and it's taught from the most practical perspective. I started photography when I was in middle school, but it wasn't until 2017 that I took it on as my full-time job. Before that, I worked in e-commerce for 8 years. I went to college and completed my degree, as well as working full-time as a social media director and dozens of consulting clients. So believe me when I say I get it, and I get that you're busy. You have so many other things going on in your life than just your photography business. And if you are like me, I was doing my photography on the side of my part-time schooling in college, finishing my degree, part-time job and full-time job, and my youth ministry that was happening on Wednesday and Sunday night. So basically I have Saturdays for photography. If you're ready to learn from somebody who cuts the fluff, anti-cringy material, I get straight to the point from a practical perspective, then I'm going to encourage you to go to jessicawhitaker.co/workshop to check out my online photography workshop. It's $4.99 or 3 payments of $175. And in the workshop, I have 10 chapters that will teach you how to start and scale a photography business in your own backyard on your timeline. I really do believe that you don't have to do photography full-time to make a full-time income, but it does take a bit of tweaking at the beginning of your business to sort things out, get systems going, and to really implement a plug-and-play system into your business. This workshop has helped so many photographers across the globe, and people have written me and said that they just love my way of teaching. It's very clear, it's very concise, and it's not cringe, which is so refreshing in this industry. In the 6.5 hour long masterclass, I cover subjects such as pricing, customer service, client experience, I cover posing, and also how to make your clients feel comfortable in front of the camera and you be confident behind it. This workshop is like perfect for the introverted photographer, the shy photographer, because that's exactly who I am. And the photography, working with clients, seems like such an extroverted job that you have to be on all the time. And if you are not super bubbly and confident and able to strike up a conversation naturally, then this industry just isn't for you. No, no, no. There is room for everybody in the industry, especially people who are shy. And there are techniques to get conversations started even when it doesn't come naturally. If you're interested in the workshop, head to jessicawhitaker.co/workshop to enroll. What an interesting ad read. I'm just flying off the seat of my pants. But honestly, the ad that my copywriter wrote for me, yes, I did outsource a copywriter. Yee. And I do have a podcast episode on how to DIY four different things in your business when you can't afford to outsource yet. Just check out what my copywriter wrote at jessicawhitaker.co/workshop. It's much better than that ad read. So I am excited to move forward this week and really try to hone in my Instagram stories and make sure that they're as value-packed as possible. And I want you to do the same. And one app that can help you kind of map out what stories you're going to share which day is an app called Unfold. And it's kind of, it's already a story template app, but what I like about it is that you can actually create little folders for different sets, different stories. If you want, that could be each day. Maybe you map out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't do that, but you can use it in that intention. But if you just download Unfold, that's where you can store these stories. That's where you could, you know, have all your calls to action living so that one day when you just don't, you really can't get on camera, you just, it's like the first day of your period vibes and it's the last thing that you want to do, then you pull from the Unfold app what you already have stored on there. It doesn't mean also that you can't share photos of your dog or of your food. It's just I want you to take that extra step to consider, is this valuable and is this something that's going to make me stand out from my competition? Now is a part of the show where I'm going to answer some questions that I asked in the Build a Bloom Facebook group that members of the Build a Bloom Facebook group have asked me. So if you're not a member, like I said, of the Build a Bloom Facebook group, be sure to check us out in Facebook groups. It's called Build a Bloom. The first question is, what city has been your favorite to live in? And I've only lived in two cities, Seattle and New York City, but I did live in New York at two different times of my life, once when I was 19 and then once when I was 22 to 24, I believe, and definitely New York City. Do I have plans to go back to New York? I do. I have plans to go back to New York eventually. Not in the near future, but I would like to be there by like 2022. And I do think that I can see myself settling down in the city, maybe a different borough than like Manhattan in the heart of Times Square, but I do love the city so much. Okay, so the next, I have a couple of questions about like, where do I get my jewelry from? Where do I shop? My favorite label, like if I had to only go to one store for the rest of my life, would be Madewell. I love Madewell. I love their basics. I love their jeans. I love their knitwear. I love that they're moving towards more sustainability. Another brand that I love, but I can't necessarily afford, is Annie Bing. I have one of her t-shirts. Her name is spelled A-N-I-N-E Bing. So if you want to look her up on Instagram, beautiful, beautiful basic pieces. I also love to shop on The RealReal for clothing. Oh, Bumblebee just woke up and he did a little bit of a sneeze if you just heard him. The RealReal has great deals on clothing that are about the same prices of like Madewell pieces. You just have to do a bit of shopping around on there, search and filter through sale, search through price low to high. But you can get some really great pieces, especially workwear. Or if you're going to shoot a wedding, lots of great items. And it's also sustainable. And what's awesome about The RealReal on top of it is they actually show you kind of a chart of how much water you're saving, how much energy by purchasing a specific article of clothing on their site used versus buying it new, which I think is awesome. And they do it like for each article of clothing. Another place that I like to shop would be And Other Stories. And I also like, oh, there's one more store. Oh, American Vintage. It's a store in, I've gone to the one in Berlin and Notting Hill, but I think they also have one in Paris. It's mostly, I think, in Europe, but American Vintage is beautiful knitwear, especially super casual, great cuts, slightly oversized, amazing colors. Love American Vintage. Let's see. Another question is, let's talk about the jewelry. I do love Monica Viander jewelry. I love Ana Luisa New York And Ana Luisa, I thought was going to just be another hyped up jewelry brand like Mejuri, but Mejuri's okay. It's okay. It's not the best quality. It's not the worst, but I have had rings kind of bend out of shape from them and like little rings that were on chains and they would just become like like the hook from the chain would unchain. It's okay for some pieces. I love though Mejuri's hoop earrings that are like the hollow hoop. Their necklaces have been good, but they have some hits and misses, which is disappointing for the price point. And they do a great job branding, whatever. But they're definitely a hyped up Instagram brand. Ana Luisa, I thought was just going to be another hyped up Instagram jewelry brand, but their quality is amazing, and I believe at the same price point as Mejuri. I do have a lot of pieces from Mejuri as well, but I would say like if I had to choose, I would definitely do Ana Luisa. I love their stuff. Another jewelry brand that I really like is my friend Maggie Villamaria. Does really fun costume jewelry and pieces, lots of delicate pieces that you can layer up. Just head over to my Instagram, and I believe I have a highlight called Looks, L-E-W-K-S, where you can grab my favorite pieces, and I have lots of links there. If you ever see something that I'm wearing in a story that you want a link for, just send me a DM, and I'll share it with you. Let's see. Another question. This is kind of interesting. Do you believe in zodiac signs? The answer is no. I know what zodiac sign I am, but I don't believe in them, and I also personally just stay away from them. I don't care if other people are into them or not. A lot of my best friends are really into zodiac signs, but for me, I'm a Christian, and I am uncomfortable kind of even dabbling into that area. Personally, it's just a personal belief. It's like a spiritual thing, and I'm not saying that I think that it's bad if you're into them or not, but just answering the question, no, I don't believe in them. And I also just I've talked about, okay, maybe this will end on this question because this is going to be a bit longer. I talked on my Instagram stories a few times about how I feel about personality tests, anything that's kind of zodiac sign, even my Myers-Briggs. Some Christians are like really into the Enneagram and just things like that. I understand the important like strength finders tests, and I think that they could benefit you in the workplace. But I think that sometimes I'm speaking from me as a Christian, pretty strong Christian perspective. And I'm mostly speaking to other Christians when I talk about this. So maybe if you're just open-minded, you might find it interesting. I haven't really heard anyone else necessarily share this perspective before. But I think that so many Christians, and I also just people, can be very almost like a little bit too into their Enneagram, into their Myers-Briggs, into these personality tests, into zodiac signs. And I understand also that zodiacs are I think they're different from horoscopes, whatever. Like, maybe I sound stupid, but I know there's like two different aspects to it. I don't really believe in either of them. But I think that we can use Enneagrams as an excuse for our behavior or an excuse for even what we think that we can grow in, cannot grow in, what we're good at, what we're not good at. This piece of paper, like because I'm a 9 or because I'm a 6.5 ounce latte, I cannot, like I struggle in this area, but I'm going to excuse it instead of like growing in that area and actually like succeeding in it. I'm just going to continue to let the Enneagram be a pass for my behavior to slide. And I've seen that just in my own personal friendships where the people who are really into Enneagrams do lean into that too much and literally let their behavior slide because of it. And I just think it's a really unhealthy outlook on the Enneagram. And I don't know if it's because of the Christian church that we just generally are not into any kind of personality test that's like zodiac, horoscope realm. So when something kind of similar that gives you like almost like a label for your personality, the Enneagram becomes like our personality all of a sudden because we're so like interested in this like realm, and it's almost like, ooh, we weren't allowed to do horoscope or zodiac growing up, but like I could do the Enneagram and it's exciting, right? And of course, people love to learn. We love to talk about ourselves. We love to learn about ourselves. so it makes sense that people are so key, like so interested in the Enneagram or in these Myers-Briggs. I remember like in college, Myers-Briggs was so popular, but it's kind of come to a point where it's just really cringy for me and I'm not really into it. I know what my Enneagram is. I believe I'm a 6, but anytime I look at the Enneagram pages or even like Zodiac kind of related things, because I do, like I said, I have some of my close friends who are really into it and will like send me it. I just don't really, I look at the chart that says like, it's almost set up like a bingo, like Enneagram 6 is this, this, and this. And I'm like, it would be so easy for anyone to look at this and think it's them. I don't know. So I'm not trying to sound like I'm dragging and roasting the Enneagram, but I do think it's something to take into consideration. Are you like relying too much on the Enneagram as an excuse for a certain behavior or an excuse to not grow? I could do a whole podcast episode more eloquently sharing my thoughts. Maybe this wasn't so eloquently stated, but just to sum it all up, personality tests, nah, like I'm good. I do see how they benefit you, especially in the workplace, but they're just taken a bit too far, especially in the Christian community and with our mindset, So yeah, I'm going to end it here. It's a whole different discussion I could totally talk about, but I just feel like it also is kind of a negative discussion, and I don't really want to bring, I already feel like I've been so negative for the past like 5 minutes answering this question, so I don't want to go too much further, and I don't know if I want to make a whole podcast. If I made a podcast about it, I really need to write an outline, truly think about it, and make sure that I'm presenting it in a way that is beneficial and doesn't just come across as a roast or as Enneagram sucks, just chill out, because the Enneagram doesn't suck. It just sucks to see how people use it as a mindset block almost. It's a tool, but that's all that it should be. So let's move into, actually, this is the end of the show. It's been 30 minutes. Sorry that that was a bit negative, but maybe it's something to think about. My Christian friends, do the old heart check, you know the vibes. But I really do believe in you. I believe in your business. I think that this week, I really hope, pray that you are productive. I hope that you are able to move forward with grace for yourself, grace for other people, continue to wear a mask, and do what you can in your community this week. Be sure, if you are still interested, to join the Build and Bloom Facebook group if you haven't already. It's free to join. It's a kind, inclusive, encouraging photography community. You could also check out my online photography workshop if you're interested in learning how to start and scale a photography business in your own backyard without the fluff, without the cringe. You can go to jessicawhitaker.co/workshop to register, and I'll catch you around on social media or the next Build and Bloom podcast episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review on iTunes to keep it running. This also helps other photographers to find this free resource. Looking for more? Join over 60,000 photographers in the Build and Bloom Facebook group. Just search for Build and Bloom in Facebook groups to join in the encouraging and empowering community. You can also find Jessica's tutorials and tools on YouTube and Instagram at Jessica Whitaker, and show notes and further resources on her website, jessicawhitaker.co. Thanks for spending time here. Catch you in the next episode.